Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. And to those of you on the other side of the screen, our extended family, we welcome you in as well for the sermon titled Lesson Learned. And our scripture lesson today comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 through 14, and plays over into 2 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 10. Go take you a minute to look that up. And I was listening to my buddies Sven and Ollie argue the other day. Now, as you know, they're not known for their intelligence level. And I was listening to them fuss at one another, and I was like, what's the problem? And Sven said, well, we were eating late supper at the pub. It was 10 o'clock. And Sven and Ollie and I were watching the news, and there was a jumper on the news. And the news was playing it out. The guy was going to jump off the ledge, and the fire department was there. And they were setting up the mat in case the guy decided to jump to try to save his life. And Ollie says, Sven turned to me and said, I bet you $10 he jumps. And Ollie said, I'll take that bet. And so they were watching. And sure enough, the man jumped. And Ollie handed Sven the $10 and was grumbling about it. I can't believe you were right. And Sven said, well, Ollie, quite frankly, I saw him do it on the 5 o'clock news, but didn't think he'd do it again. I gotta quit reading that book. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram, and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. Asa was angry with the seer because of this. He was so enraged that he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. The events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are written in the book of the Kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease from his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut out for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier covered with spices and various blended perfumes. They made a huge fire in his honor. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways of his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the Lord, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established a kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hael, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, Micaiah, to teach in the towns of Judah. And with them were certain Levites and Shemaiah, Nethananah, Zebediah, Asahel, Shemaroth, Jehonathan, Abijah, and Tob-Abinijah, and the priests of Elishama and Jehoram. They taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land surrounding Judah, so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please join me? Father, let this lesson that we are going to learn today be great. Let us glean from it what we need to move forward this week. What we need to straighten out things within our own existence. What we need to speak openly to those about the love and power of your Son Jesus. Let us learn this lesson here today, Father, given from you to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. So, when, and this is a question that I'm curious about, when do you stop learning? Does anybody know?
Never.
Man, you guys are so good today. We should have cold fall days more often. This is wonderful. You're talking right along with me. Never. You never stop learning. I am 56 years old, as we have established earlier this day, and I have never stopped learning. Some lessons are fun. Some things are really fun to learn. Like, for example, baking cookies. That's one of the funnest lessons to learn that is on the face of this planet. Because no matter how much you mess up, it's fun to start again. Look, I messed up this cookie here. Let me just eat this so nobody else will. Because I wouldn't want them to eat a cookie that didn't have enough chocolate chips in it. And we'll start over again. And you can keep playing that game out until your mother figures out what you're doing, and then it's over with. Some lessons are difficult. Like learning cursive. I come from that age in time when you had to learn cursive. And every day you spent writing big S, little s, big S, little s, big S, little s, T, 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 T. And you're back there and you're starting to write in cursive. And then you start to draw things like, I don't know, your T turns into a steam engine. And the teacher sees it. And guess where you're at then? You're at the front on that special blackboard that had the lines on it drawing cursive for everybody. Some lessons are downright hard and painful. But if you pay attention, you grow. Now, I know it's early in the season, and I probably shouldn't be talking about Christmas yet. But this past week, for some reason, as this sermon started to formulate in this vacant space just above my ears, I was watching something somewhere, and I stumbled across a quote from a great Christmas movie called The Polar Express. And if you haven't seen that movie, for shame. You should watch that movie, if but for no other reason, just to see them drive that locomotive across the frozen lake. That, to me, is the epitome of the movie. But in that movie, there's a kid with glasses. His name in the movie is called the Know-It-All Kid. And he talks, you know, I know everything there is to know about everything. And he tells everything that there is to know. And he smarts off and he just carries on through the whole movie. And you want to wring his neck at about the three-quarter mark. And there's the conductor there who's got that golden ticket. And he's got that fancy clipper. And he even does the one where he clips it behind his back. But when he hands the ticket to the mouthy boy who was fussing about everything, the boy snatches the ticket out of his hand. And it had two letters to start with, L and M. And when he got it, he held on thinking, hey, what's the meaning of this? Lean, what am I supposed to learn from this? And the man says, Lean has four letters. I believe I punched five. And the boy moves his thumb to the side and he goes, oh, learn. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll do that. Thank you very much. And he climbs up the steps, humbled. We need to learn, even when it's the most difficult point in our lives, to step back and say, hey, we need to learn a lesson here. And it's not fun, and it hurts. And we have to look at what went on before us, sometimes to other people, sometimes to ourselves, that has drove us to that point. But we have the ability to learn, to pay attention. Our life is the constant. Our life is the constant lesson. Our life is the constant understanding of everything around us, no matter what age, from when we can understand until we can't. We're learning something. We're learning that people have gifts, that they have talents. We're learning that people will tell things that are counterintuitive to what we've been taught, and we shouldn't pay attention to them. Even though sometimes we will, and it will take us a long time to turn back away. Our lives, we're always being taught lessons. And Jesus Christ, our teacher, is called that for good reason. He is steadily, every day, all day, teaching us. And he never loses patience. He never walks away. He never gives up. He never says, I thought I had told you this 100,000 times. I am a parent, not a parent. I am a father. There, that makes more sense, doesn't it? I had two wonderful children. I learned on the day that they started to talk that my life would never ever be the same. Because their favorite word was, why, Daddy? Well, because, Daddy. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? And today, they teach me things. I may ask a question. Well, Dad, don't you know that blah, 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 blah. And I'm, where did you learn that from? And it's interesting and it's fun. And I can tell you, is any other parents in here? Or anyone who has been a teacher? Or anyone who has had to lead anyone in any form? Everybody in this room at some point has. You may say, amen. Amen. Your patience gets tested. Amen.
Amen.
Can you imagine teaching me? What is all that grumbling for? I know. It would have been a joy, wouldn't it? You back up for a second because of the way we're built, and you go, I just explained this. Not Jesus. He still looks at us and says, I love you. Let me show you again. Even when we know better, sometimes we just don't learn. There are two guys up in Alaska hunting, and they had bagged themselves a mighty, mighty elk. They were all proud of it. They was going to take it home and have the head set up on the wall, and they was going to eat the elk and had pictures, and they was going to show everybody. And so they got it back to the camp, and they got it out to the airstrip where the bush pilot was waiting to fly them to where they could get out of Alaska with the meat. The bush pilot looked at the situation and said, fellas, with the animal, with everything you've got there, your gear, us three, you're too heavy for this plane. And they argued with him. They said, we're not. We've calculated it out. We weigh X. And the pilot says, my plane only lifts and flies Y. And they went back and forth, and they went back and forth. And one of them told the pilot, well, the pilot last year, when we caught one that was almost this big, didn't have any problems getting us off the runway. But the pilot, knowing, loaded everything up, and he taxied down to the end of the runway as far as he could. And he held down on the brakes and opened the throttles up on that thing till that engine was going to shake the plane apart, and he left off the brakes, and away they went. And he got to the very, very end of that runway, and with all of his strength and might, he pulled back on that yoke, and that plane left the earth and got up, got out about a half a mile, and clipped the tree and knocked the landing gear off and crash landed in an open field. And they all three got out of the plane, dusting themselves off. And the pilot looks at him and says, see, I told you. Now, what do you have to say about that? And the one hunter looked at the other one and goes, well, we got about a mile further than we did last year. Even when you know sometimes, we don't pay attention. The first half of this scripture in Chronicles, King Asa knew what his job was. He had been given everything that there was to be given. Can you just for one second imagine, if you will, having the Lord come to you today and say, I'm going to give all of this to you. And things are going to try to be bad, but you just stay focused right here and we're going to be fine. I'm going to give you all of these lands and I'm going to give you all this stuff and people are going to come and try to take it from you. But don't pay attention to them. Focus here. Oh, and by the way, here's a great big security force to help manage things. One of the security forces that had initially been your enemy is now working for you. And King Asa didn't pay attention to that. The Bible records his story. If you back up several verses, the Baasha king of Israel came up against him and fortified and cut off all of his routes. He was determined to take down the land of Judah. And King Asa got scared. And so what did he do? The Bible records that he took gold and other things and made a covenant, a deal with this king to protect him and to go start a war with him. God didn't say do that. God said just sit here, have them there. I'll protect you. But he didn't. And Hanani, the seer, the prophet, came to him and said, why'd you do that? He said, he came to him and said, because you have relied on the king of Aram and not the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped. They took your money and ran. Why did you do that? God told you what to do. Didn't he give you Cushites? Didn't he give you Libyans? A mighty army loaded with chariots and men in the hundreds of thousands. Didn't he tell you all of this was yours and you chose not to believe him? The eyes of the Lord, and I love that verse in number 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You know what that means? God sees everything all the time, everywhere, period. And you chose to not listen. Well, now it's time for you to learn a lesson. And it goes on to talk about, because he didn't rely on him, Asa got angry with someone who was telling him you did wrong. How many people in this room, you don't have to put your hands up, you can say amen, or I'm just going to look around the room after I ask this question. And anybody who does this, I know your answer. How many people in this room, when someone has told you to do the thing the right way and you didn't, and it blew up in your face, got mad at the person for telling you to do it the right way? He got mad at him, threw him in jail. God said, okay, fine. Here's your lesson. I'm going to disease you. I'm going to put war against you. I'm going to make your life miserable, and you're going to die early. And he did. He knew better. He knew that God was going to come against him even after he gave him everything. Brothers and sisters, we oftentimes need to see these lessons. We don't need to live all of them. And that's what God laid down when he gave us this book. Here is my book. Here are the stories, and I don't want to say stories. Here are the events that took place. Story means it might not necessarily be true. The Bible is 100% true. It is events that took place. It is happenings. It is occurrences that we can learn from if we simply read it. Remember what Bible stands for, right? B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You know what B-I-B-L-E stands for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's right here. Asa had to learn that lesson. But there are lessons that we learn that stick with us and change us and remind us of those who sought to help us along the way. Time for a visual aid. One of the most favorite and hated tools in all of mechanicdom is the wrench. Because it's always too long, it's too big, you can never find the right size, it's too short, you bend it, it never fits the way it's supposed to. But without it, you wouldn't get anything done. And wrenches evolved from the guy when Grog over there in ancient rock times picked up his hammer and chisel and went, ugh, 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 ugh. And his wheel broke on his ugga ugga cart, and he said, must fix, and came up with the first wrench. And they developed into this style. There is a reason that a wrench is shaped like this, and a lot of people don't know it. But I do. And the reason I do is because my grandfather, father, uncle, and all of those in front of me were teaching me things along the way, watched me hurt myself repeatedly while using a wrench. Now, I think they got joy out of it for a little while. But if you'll notice a wrench, by the way, this is called a combination wrench. For those who don't understand, open end, box end, combination, get it? Now you're learning something. Notice the shape. Box end is laid to an angle. The open end is laid to an angle. I was 11 years old when my grandfather watched me struggling working on something because the wrench wouldn't turn the way I wanted it to. He said, don't you know what a wrench is made for? And I said, yeah. And he walked over and he said, the angle on that head is made so you can get an angle. You turn it, you get your angle. You turn it, you get your angle. I have never, ever forgotten that lesson. When I am working on something, instinctively I turn it. Because it was made to do a job. It was made to do the job right. And I learned a lesson that I never forgot. And I learned that lesson to the point where 30-some years ago, a plumber in Myersville took me under his wing. Well, I'll bet you he still regrets that, even up there in heaven watching me now. And Pappy Butt said, here. Here's a 4-inch crescent wrench. I said, what's that for? He goes, carry it, you'll find out. And I argued with him. 30 years later, in my pocket are always the following. Wrench, knife, little tiny flashlight. Look at that! Jimmy's got his. You learned the same lesson. Every day, that goes in my pocket. Matter of fact, I hate when I have to take it out of my pocket to go in somewhere where there's a metal detector. I walked in one time with this in my pocket. I had taken the knife out. They said, that's a weapon. And I went, did you see the 10 o'clock news where that guy was going to jump? Would you like to make a $10 bet? This is a lesson. The Bible records the next part of this. It starts off, Jehoshaphat in chapter 17. His son, Asa's son, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. In the third verse, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He walked with the Lord. He didn't consult the false prophets, the false idols, the Baals or the Baals or the whatever you want to call them. He consulted on the Lord. He looked at the lessons that had been taught to him and saw what he could learn from those before him. He paid attention. He put down what needed to be done. He prayed. His heart was devoted, it says, to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah, all the false prophets. And then he sent his people out and said, go and teach the word of the Lord. Do it. Teach it from the book. Teach the law. Teach God. And they went around. And the Lord fell on all the kingdoms. And they left him alone. Lesson learned. We are going to continue to struggle. It is our nature. We are going to continue to make mistakes as we walk along our path learning. But the thing is, we need to learn. There's an old saying. I'm sure you've heard it many times. I have. It says, the old saying says, you didn't learn anything if you had to be kicked in the head by the mule the second time. I'll let that sink in for a moment, and people will go, man, you're right. If a mule kicks you twice, you have got a problem. I've been kicked a lot. A Chinese boy who wanted to learn about jade went to study with a talented old teacher. The old teacher put a piece of the stone of jade in his hand and said, hold on to it tightly. And then during the lesson, talked to him about philosophy and men and women and the sun and almost everything underneath of it. And after an hour, he took back that piece of jade and sent the boy on his way. And continued these lessons for 2 months. But the boy was becoming frustrated. The boy is us. Why can't we see something else? Why do we have to constantly learn this? And after 2 months, the old teacher sensed the boy was getting frustrated. And one day, the old man told him, close your eyes and hold out your hand, as he had done every lesson. And the old man put a regular old rock in it. And when the boy closed his hand on it, he exclaimed, this is not jade. Lesson. Learn. Know your God. Know your Jesus. Know these teachings. This is being taught daily, and we are reminded to grab hold of these lessons daily. Life is a matter of building. Each of us has the opportunity to build something. A secure family, a good reputation, a career, a relationship to God. But some of those things can disappear overnight due to financial losses, natural disasters, and unforeseen difficulties. What do we do? Daniel Webster offered this excellent advice, saying, if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God, a love of Jesus, a love for their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which time cannot efface, which will brighten and brighten to all eternity, a lesson learned. It is a reminder that we talk about today. It is a reminder of what we have. Now here's the thing. We are taught daily to rely on God and be ready for the return. And sometimes I don't think we listen to it closely enough. We start to drift a little bit. We know he's coming, but have we really paid attention? Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. That's not the lesson you want to learn afterwards. The lesson you want to learn is to continually reach out, to continually accept the lesson, continually realize that life is hard, continually realize that we are struggling, continually realize that we are not alone, that we are blessed, that we are loved, that we are comforted. And it's all because we take Jesus Christ as the one and only divine truth. Period. There is nothing else. And within him lies everything we need to live. And not just here, but on that next day. I, for one, am happy for the daily lesson learned. Are you? Live to that point. Hear those lessons. Look for them. Pray for them. And grow. This blessing I ask upon each and every one of you in our precious Savior's name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, here we stand. Open minds, open hearts, open ears. We look toward our Bible to teach us when others relied upon other things and the calamity that fell them. We use our Bible to remind us that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Our daily reminder, our constant lesson learned is to be knowledgeable of Him and be ready. When this outside world is throwing all the foolishness against us that it can, be reminded we rely on God, we rely on Jesus. It's hard, but the reward is far greater than the sacrifice. Let us be reminded that Jesus loves us fully, patiently, every day, every minute. Let that be today's lesson learned. And thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close out, be reminded of the lesson learned. Be reminded of what God is. Be reminded of what Jesus is. And if today you don't know Him, you could be sitting right here or you could be on the other side of that camera. Reach out to find Him. He's there waiting to bring you in. And love you. This I ask and pray upon each and every one of you.